Now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland. I'm your host for this program. It's called Talk to a Pastor. But I think you're going to today's program. We're going to talk about something very important. I'm going to talk about family. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the nexus or the basis of everything that you see in society begins in the family. When you look around at the world, you see all the mayhem and the violence and the rape and the cruelty and the crime and the suffering. And you wonder, how does this all come to pass? Well, society is a macrocosm for what happens in the family, which is the beginning of it all, you see. So let's talk about the typical family, and perhaps as I describe things that I see in the family, it'll be of help to you. See, one of the problems is, I remember I was listening a couple of weeks ago to a program, a very nice lady who, when she was, she said that when she was around 14 years old, she was very angry. Like a lot of people, when they're 14, are angry. There's a lot of things to be angry at. Well, she was angry, and she got diagnosed as being bipolar and put on medications, and before you know it, one thing to another, and at one time she was on 14 medications. And of course, she had a lot of side effects. Things went from bad to worse. And it wasn't until she was in her 20s that she finally began to find herself. She found herself. She was able to get off the medications. And she's now medication-free for 2 years. And her life has balance. She's moving toward some positive things. And she's much, much better. But you see, she said that when she was like 14 and very angry, or 15 and 16 when they were putting her on meds, why, she said if there was someone there who had understanding, someone that she could talk to who understood her, then she thinks she would have been all right, but she felt isolated, she felt alone, she felt like nobody understood. Now, what happens to us as we grow up is, see, typically, let's talk about a very typical family. In a typical family, you have a mom who's in charge of everything and a father who's not there. Either he's absent or he's there, but he's not there. You know what I mean? He sits in the living room and he goes to work, but he's a non-factor. He's kind of weak. And mom is kind of runs everything. Well, what happens is that, let's see if I can describe this to you, going back to the Garden of Eden, because when I talk about the Garden of Eden, you'll see how it describes a typical family, perhaps your family. See, in the Garden of Eden, you had Adam. And Adam was close to God. And they lived in paradise. And Eve was a helpmate for Adam. Now, the serpent approached Eve and said, "Hey, oh, and the other thing is God said, you can have anything you want. You can eat anything you want. The only thing is don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." That's the only thing that he said not to do. Well, what did they do? They ate of it. But why? Because the serpent approached Eve and spoke to, and tempted Eve and said, "Hey, did God really say that? Or was he just testing you to see if you're big enough to do things on your own without always just looking to him and for what he says to do?" So she went to Adam, and that's kind of what she said. Adam listened to it, and he was tempted to eat. See, she ate of it, and then he ate of it. And then he began to change. He changed for the worse. He changed for the worse. Instead of living perpetually renewed every day, perpetually renewed, he began to die. He changed, and they were to die. And so instead of perpetual renewal in the light of God, it became a situation where each individual person dies and then another has to take his place. See, everything changed. Well, let's talk about the family now in light of the Garden of Eden. Your eyes will be opened. I'll be right back. Would you like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how not to be upset.
If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting. Welcome back. My name is Roland. You're listening to Talk to a Pastor. Incidentally, I'm generally online Sunday morning. In fact, I'm always online if I can. And please bear that in mind. This particular Sunday, I think I will be not around because I have an activity out of town. Every other Sunday, I'm online. So if you're listening to my program, you can go to talktoapastor.org, talktoapastor.org. And you can click right there and you can chat with me if you like. But now let's talk about the family. So in a typical family, what do we have? We have Adam and Eve. The only thing is that it's not the first incidence of being tempted as it was in the Garden of Eden. See, they had paradise and they lost it. But now it's your present men and women are born into this. They're born into a world that is ruled by, well, ruled by the serpent, ruled by the principality of evil, if you will. So it's that's why it's a hellish place on earth. Have you ever wondered why there's nothing but war and mayhem and rape and violence and pillage and theft and confusion and cruelty? And why is that? It's because we're living in a hell on earth, which came into being because Adam, see, defected from God. So now you have a race of fallen beings. We're born fallen. So it's not our fault that it became this way, but that's what we inherit. That's what we get. Okay, but luckily there's a way of, there's an escape clause, if you will. There's a way of escaping, a very special way, and it has to do with Christ, who he is and what he did. And it hinges on belief and faith and on patience, not hating other people. It hinges on belief. Belief in the Spirit of Christ. Not belief in a teacher or not belief in a dogma or a cause or something, but in the Spirit of Christ. If you're fortunate enough to hear someone who has that Spirit. And it hinges on patience with people. In other words, not hating them. It hinges on not resenting other people. But it's very easy to resent them. So now let's look at the typical family. So you have the family where you have a weak father, see, who came from a family with a weak father. So he goes out into the world and he finds someone that's like his mother. And he looks to her as his ground of being. He looks, see, she is the temptation, the woman that he chooses, is the one that excites him. See, he is excited by the naughtiness in her, the temptation in her, which of course is what? Hell. The hell in her is what he marries. See, that excites him, and it excites his animal, and it reinforces his animal. Sexual nature, it reinforces it, and it reassures it and soothes it. It excites it, and then soothes it. You see. Well, so you have that, and then Eve, the wife,
See, she came from a family where her father wasn't there for her. Maybe he was gone, he was absent, or maybe he was there, but he wasn't there for her. He was missing, he missed something. There was something that he needed to have, which is agape love. He needed to have a rapport with the Father, with the Creator, but he didn't. Instead, he worshipped his wife, see. So you have a bunch of unprincipled cads, unprincipled women worshiping men, see. And then you have ladies who resent their weak husbands, see. See, the lady is excited by the weakness in the man. And it gives her power. That's how she gets power. See, and so all around her are these weak men. So she went out into the world looking for love. She hoped she would find the knight in shining armor, the one who would rescue her from her private hell, the one who would say no to her naughty temptations, and gently and kindly correct her from her willfulness and her confusion and her naughtiness. See, but instead, see, he leapt for it. He liked it. It excited him. See, first it aroused him and excited him, and then later he resented it. But either way, he's responding to the temptation in her. See, when she's young and pretty and naughty, he's excited by that. And then later, when she's old and ugly and nagging and hateful, that he resents it. See, but either way, that's what he's reacting to. Reacts to her one way or the other way. See, love and hate. And she, on the other hand, see, had hoped that he would be the knight in shining armor. He's not, so she judges him. See, just like she judges all men. Her weak husband, other weak men, boyfriends that took advantage of her. See, she can't help but judge him. So she starts to judge him. She judges everything that he does. See, finds fault with it. Finds fault, criticizes. See, basically everything that he does. And she can't see any good in him anymore. Even if there is some, there may not be any, but if there's any at all, she doesn't see it. So she secretly resents him. She wants something from him that he doesn't have. See, what he ought to have is a firm but gentle manly virtue that would correct her naughtiness, and not, instead of using her, he would gently say no. See, he would say, no, Eve, put the apple down. Father says we're not to eat of the apple, see. But he can't help but go for every one of her little temptations. So through the woman then operates temptation. Through her words, through her physical form, through her food, see. So now, here you have this family, where you have the weak husband, and you have mom. And mom often will get out of control. She gets out of control. Either she becomes crazy, or she becomes willful. See, or she starts to become extremely angry and resentful toward her husband. And the kids, of course, generally they may see what's going on, but they're just kids. So they side with her. She tempts him and tempts him and tempts him and nags him and nags him, and then he becomes angry and violent, then he looks bad and they hate him, and then soon there's a divorce and all that kind of stuff. Okay? Typical family.
Do you suffer from stress? Reacting to stress is natural for animals, but for us humans, stress usually makes us irritable, impatient, and upset. We find ourselves being mean to those we should be kind to, or we find ourselves suppressing emotions until they make us upset on the inside. Shouldn't we be able to live with others without being upset with each other? The answer is yes. Right now you are too reactive. That's your problem. The stress of others causes you to react with hostility or repression. Were you in your center, the stress of others would call forth patience and understanding. It would call forth the courage to speak honestly. It would call forth patience to deal with the foibles of your fellow human beings without becoming upset. The solution to all your stress-based problems is to learn how to remain in your center. The meditation exercise helps you find your center of dignity so you'll be less reactive and more patient. Download a free introduction to the meditation at commonsensecounseling.org.
My name is Roland. This is Talk to a Pastor. And I'm like a good Dutch uncle, someone who tells you the truth, gives you some good advice, counsels you with good advice, and reproves error rather than accepting it and extolling it. So there you have the typical family, and you have the kids born into this family. Now what happens now? See, if mom is willful, see a lot of, see, let's show how the kids, they resent mom and they resent dad. Now why would they resent mom? They resent mom because she's willful. She has a willful authority, not the kind of patient authority that a father might have. So she's willful. Maybe she forces food on when they're little kids. She's forcing food in their face. You see that quite a bit. You see the little kid sitting in the high chair and the mom's forcing food into it and the kid turns his face to the side. See? So she is uncorrect, unloved and uncorrected, and it's not her fault. I'm going to have to say this over and over again because otherwise people will misinterpret what I'm saying. They're saying that I'm, you know, being picking on women. I'm not. I'm picking on men. It's men's fault. It's the weak man, the failing man, the unprincipled man, the selfish man. See, the man without virtue, without enough virtue, the man without understanding, the man who does not have a real relationship with the Creator. Yeah, he may go to church and so on, but usually she's the one that makes him go to church. So in his weakness, see, he worshipped her because he wanted something from her. He wanted reinforcement for his sexual nature. He wanted her to be naughty. A lot of men want to make a woman into a whore or their mother. Want to make her into a whore or their mother. And he craves assurance and reassurance for his animal nature. He wants to be reassured that animal is the real man, which it is not. See, we do have an animal nature, that's the case, but it's to be neither condemned nor condoned, it's to be understood. See, but he doesn't understand, he wants that to be he wants someone to glorify his genitals, so to speak. That drives him wild when somebody accepts his animal as a real man. But it's not the real man. The real man would be the noble knight in shining armor, the George Washington, the Moses, the Abraham, the Isaac, the Jeremiah. See, the real noble man. Now, I also have to say that most men are halfway decent. Most men are not that bad. Men are not naturally violent, just like kids. Little kids are not naturally violent. They're very gentle. A man, if he's not tempted and made angry, and if he has any kind of good role models around, especially a good father, why, he's a gentleman. See, a gentle man. He's gentle, but he also has principle. He stands for something. But what happens is he marries a naughty lady, see, and a lady that supports his ambition. See, either way, see, Adam was ambitious to have knowledge, see, to be like a god. Remember, to be like a god through education, through knowledge. See, so that's the other aspect of it. So he changed and became an animal. Now he wants someone to constantly worship his animal and reassure it and reassure it. And reinforce it and assure him that animal is man. That's what he wants, which is a lie. Okay? And he also, if he's ambitious type, see, the ambitious type, then he needs a woman to support his ambition. So there you have it, right there. But what happens is the more that she's in charge of that, so that puts her in charge of his animal and his ambition. And so she's in charge, and then then when she becomes bossy, because of his weakness, then he resents her for that. See, and she bosses the kids around, and they resent her. Okay, and then we'll continue with this description after this announcement. Hello, this is Roland Trujillo, director of the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Most of us want to live our lives with calmness, patience, and understanding. I'd like to talk for a moment about how to deal with life's problems and about a new free offer we have for you.
If you could learn to be calm in the moment of a stressful situation, it would not add any fuel to the fire. When the moment of stress arrives, you would influence the moment instead of the moment influencing you. The way to be prepared to meet life with calmness is through a proper meditation. This meditation is learning how to become still before the truth. Through this practice, you will download enough calmness and understanding to meet the day's vicissitudes. By practicing our meditation, you can gain the presence of mind to stand back and observe the moment, see what is needed, and respond with reason and patience instead of upset or resentment. The triumph of responding properly and the delight of gaining understanding about ourselves and others lead to a procession of joys. Defeat turns to victory and fear to a new zest for life. You can download a free introductory version of the meditation exercise at our website, www.commonsensecounseling.org. Why are you waiting? Load your free meditation at commonsensecounseling.org.
My name is Roland. The program is Talk to a Pastor. This is an excellent program. You need to listen to it again and again. Now, let's just quickly, I'm just hitting on some highlights here. You need to get my book, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage, and you need to go to talktoapastor.org, and there you can find a link to my couples blog, which is called Healing Relationships. I have some really fantastic posts that I just put up there. One of my most recent posts, actually, it's a chapter from my forthcoming book. It's called Meddling Mothers and Distant Dads. Meddling Mothers and Distant Dads. See, what happens is that mom becomes a bit out of control in various ways. And her husband can no longer do anything about it because he doesn't have the ground upon which to stand. He doesn't have the virtue. See, he's grounded in her. He needs a separate ground. A separate ground be a ground in principle and a ground in his creator. See, to stand for what is right, but not with anger, but with firmness, with kindness, with patience, with long-suffering, with understanding, with wisdom. See, that's where his strength would be. That would be his ground. But instead, he's grounded in her. He's always looked to her as his God. He's looked to women as his God. So how can he possibly, see, stand up with virtue? See, he can't. All he has is anger. So he speaks up with anger. If he's a violent brute, why, he might put her down. Then she lives under the tyranny of his violence, and then she hates him. But the more she hates him, the more violent he is, the more he degenerates. See, so that way she's actually in charge of his degeneration. He puts her in charge that way. But a lot of times, if he's not an angry, violent person, then you have the typical situation where the dad is weak. He's just kind of there. He doesn't say anything. He becomes distant. See, and mom is very verbal. She talks and talks and talks. Like somebody said, my wife talks at the speed of 90 miles an hour with gusts up to 120. And he's not very verbal, and he doesn't know what to say. He doesn't say much. And so she's kind of in charge of everything. And he lets her be in charge. So she's in charge of the kids. She's in charge of the... And she rules through her food, see, through her words and through her food and through her moods, see? So people walk around on eggshells. They want to get mom upset. They don't want to make mom angry, see? And they have to eat her food and they have to pretend it's really good even if it's not. And so on and so forth. So it's like living in a tyranny. It's like living in a despotic... See, it's a tyranny of either a violent, dogmatic dad in charge. That's tyranny, or a willful mom in charge. Either way, it's not very happy. So no wonder the kids have problems. No wonder they're angry. See, it's an injustice. If mom is in charge and dad is weak, or mom has her way with the kids and dad stands silently by, or you have situations where dad has his way with the kids and mom stands silently by, you have that. They're both ways are wrong. See, there has to be a way where there's love, where there's understanding. And there would be if the father, see, knew what it meant to be a real man, but he doesn't. So mom resents him. She resents him for his weakness. She resents him for having the responsibility on her shoulders. She takes it. See, he's all too glad to let her run things as long as he gets his food and his sex, you see what I mean? And his support for his ambition. But then eventually, so she takes it, she likes the power, but then eventually she resents having all the responsibility on her shoulders, so she resents him even more. No wonder the kids are unhappy. They see this, they see what's going on, but they're powerless to do anything about it. I'll be right back.
Most of us react emotionally to pressure. It's not so much the pressure that hurts us, but our emotional reaction. If you would like to learn the secret of remaining calm in the face of pressure, listen to a free introductory version of the meditation exercise at www.commonsensecounseling.org. While you're there, listen to my latest lecture on relationships. It's all in the free download section. That's commonsensecounseling.org.
There you have it. I hope you enjoyed today's little picture into today's Adam and Eve. It's a recreation of the Garden of Eden in every family. And undoubtedly, you came from a home where there were undercurrents of resentment and so forth. So you're just going to have to see what was happening. Now you can see it. Now you can understand it. Forgive your parents. They didn't know what they were doing. No one was there with love to explain it to them. So to forgive them. Don't hate them. And if you don't hate your parents, then you have to pass on the legacy to the next generation. Until next time, Lord willing and a creek don't rise, we'll see you then. Visit my website, talktoapastor.org, and read some of my articles. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. Please remember that Roland's program is listener supported. Thank you.